Recently, the newspapers have been carrying the story about a humpback whale swimming up the Sacramento River in California. The poor whale was obviously out of place. Its natural habitat is the Pacific Ocean. But somehow, the whale had gotten lost and had become confused. And so there it was, a creature really designed to live in the vast expanses and the fathomless depths of the Pacific Ocean, trying now to survive within the narrow confines of a river. It's really sad when something like that happens to a whale. It's even more sad when it happens to people. But happen it does. That was clearly the case with the scribes and Pharisees during the life and ministry of Jesus. These men had forsaken the great depths of their Jewish faith, and now they were swimming in the shallows of the narrow tributaries. We know that to say of a person that he or she is deeply religious is commonly considered a compliment. And most of us assume that religion really is a kind of positive influence that always accomplishes good in the lives of those people who are devoted to it. And yet, just a few moments of thought will reveal the inadequacy of that assumption. Now, it's true, of course, that religion at its best has really been one of the supreme builders of strong character throughout all of history. But it is also true that some of the most small-minded and mean-spirited people who have ever lived were religiously devoted and motivated. When Jesus was praying on the cross for the forgiveness of those men who had put him there, he was sustained and motivated by his religious faith. At the same time, those very men who had arranged and orchestrated his death were also men of deep religious faith who thought that they were serving their God by putting this heretic out of the way. And over the centuries, when missionaries would go out from their homelands to live in hardship, trying to raise a level of life in a distant land, those missionaries were really motivated by a deep religious faith. And yet, in some of those lands to which they visited, they found the parents throwing their children into the river, allowing them to drown and be eaten by the crocodiles. And those people also were deeply religious motivated. And they were trying to please their gods by what they considered the supreme act of devotion. The truth is that the effect of religion on human life is really somewhat like the effect of water on the earth. Rain can bring refreshment and fruitfulness, but it also can bring devastation and ruin. All we need think of what has happened to the cult leaders in Eastern Oregon as a current example, or the escapades of the Scientologists in the last summer's trials. It's a simple fact that all people do yearn for a touch of the transcendent. We all do. And those people who have lost touch with the deep tradition of their faith apparently will do almost anything to recapture what they have lost. Jesus in our gospel today gives a vivid and brief description of two kinds of religion. One of these he wholeheartedly commended, and the other one he sternly denounced. Now, what was the difference? How does one decide whether religious faith is good or bad, valid or invalid? Now, as you might expect, across the years, several standard means of measurement have been evolved. One of these is the test of orthodoxy. If a person does believe in the right things and expresses those beliefs the right way, then that person will pass the test of orthodoxy. True believer. On the other hand, if that person doubts certain beliefs or expresses the faith in different words, then that person has failed the test and is branded a heretic. Another well-known means of evaluation of religious faith is a test of participating in public worship and ritual. If a person will show up at the church every time the doors are opened, then that person is proclaimed a faithful believer. By the same token, if that person is seldom ever shows up, then the validity of their religious faith is held in serious question. Now, I would not disregard either one of those tests. To be well informed on matters of doctrine and to participate faithfully in the programs and sacraments of the church simply are necessary disciplines of our Christian life. There's no doubt about it. And yet, I would point out that in today's gospel story, Jesus did not apply either test to the persons in the reading. Instead, he denounced the scribes not for their beliefs, but for their behavior. Their chief concern simply was to look good in the eyes of other people. In the words of T.S. Eliot, the great contemporary poet, half of the harm that is done in the world today is due to people who want to feel important. Jesus strongly disapproved of their kind of religion, of what it had done to their character. Their kind of religion had turned them into small-minded, self-centered men. And by the same token, Jesus commended this poor little widow not for the frequent participation in public worship, but for her spirit of giving. The direction of her life moved outward. In terms of money, it said practically nothing, but she willingly gave of the little she had. Jesus approved of what her faith had done to her character. It had produced in her a spirit of trust and generosity. Doubtless, she did not know where the next meal would come from, but I suspect that she did know that it would come. It might be late, but it would come. In the meantime, she would not allow her poverty to rob her of the joy of giving what little she had. That is the expression of religious faith at its highest and best, just as the widow in the Old Testament. Having given Elijah the prophet a little piece of bread to live on, the supply of oil and flour lasted her and her son a whole year. The one real test of your faith and my faith is what it does to our character and behavior. Does it turn our attention inward upon ourselves? Or does it turn our attention outward to the needs of other people? Sometimes our emphasis upon personal salvation has made us people so spiritually self-centered. If the chief concern of our relationship with Jesus Christ is simply to get our own little souls into heaven, then there is something wrong with our religion today. The Jesus and I mentality is so prevalent today. The focus of real religious faith is never on self. I remember a shoe cobbler who had a sign, a slogan carved in wood behind his little workbench. It said, "God first, others second, self third." And that is the theme that is so sadly lacking in so much of our modern day religion. So often the direction is inward. The emphasis seems to be on how we can use God in order to get what we want out of life. In sharp contrast to that kind of self-centered religion, there is Jesus himself. His theme was never God for me, but my life for God. And such an attitude carries with it the spirit of generosity, service toward others, and self-sacrifice. It does not seek the spotlight of public approval, nor does it ever expect immunity from trouble. It simply gives whatever it has to give and leaves the rest in the hand of the Lord. Jesus had that kind of religious faith, and he saw that kind of faith in the poor widow. Great faith is within reach of us all. But the one true test of what our religion does is what it does to our character.
Let us pray.